Paul, let me ask you something. Do you like your family?
It's a really complicated question, Steve. I didn't realize this is where we're going to be going right now.
No, I mean, do you like seeing pictures of your family?
Yeah, sure. Pictures of my family are nice. Yes, sir.
Okay, I've got a great recommendation for you. It is the Aura Frame. You've probably seen some of these before. You go to your friend's house and they have a frame on the cabinet or in the living room or whatever, and it has digital photos.
Sure. Yes.
Well, I got this thing and I set it up, super easy to set up. I basically dumped a bunch of photos from my phone right onto it. Very easy to do. Took me just minutes.
All this sounds scary to me.
No, it's incredibly easy.
It's not hard. Okay.
And basically you can put seems like an almost infinite amount of photos on this thing. And then you can set the parameters and it can rotate your family through every 30 seconds.
Amazing.
And it's great because I've got pictures of my son, my family.
Cool.
My dad passed away a few years ago. I get to see him popping up every now and then. The good ghosts of your personal history coming through on this thing.
Nice. That's nice.
They have a great deal for Mother's Day, so listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code ChinwagPod at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Bruce, do you practice any kind of religion? I mean,
I'm born and raised as a Christian Scientist.
Oh.
So it starts with a premise of perfect God, perfect man.
Right. Now, this is interesting. I don't know much about Christian Science.
It's not the fallen man.
Okay.
Who's a perennial sinner begging for forgiveness.
Uh-huh.
It's the perfect man, because if you look at chapter one of Genesis, is the creation of a perfect man. Everything uh-huh. that's described in that perfect, in that first chapter, man is freaking perfect.
It's right.
It is a perfect specimen.
Okay.
Chapter two, and a mist went up.
Uh-huh.
And then man came out of that mist. And the mist was, it's the mist in front of the mountains. The mountains are always there. It's the mist of the human man.
What about the apple?
The apple's part of the mist. The apple's part of the mist. It's the temptation, the lust of the sins of the flesh
right.
are created. And it's in essence, in my opinion, it's only my personal opinion, it's the opposite creation. They've already done the creation.
Uh-huh.
This is what not to buy into.
Uh-huh.
It already told you everything that's been done. And don't buy this. This is what we would call mortal mind. It's mortal mind telling you that man's upside down. Man uh-huh. is flawed. Man kills each other. Man hates each other. Man is not inclusive. You know, everything mortal that you tell, everything bad about man, it's the anti-creation. So you create your world based on kind of which creation you buy into.
Uh-huh.
If man is perennially flawed, my only concern with that from a religious perspective is I go, you poor bastards.
Yeah, that's
you'll
true.
Never get out of the fact that you feel like you're a broken egg right out of the box.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're fallen right at the beginning.
According to some of these religions, you are.
Yeah. But how about this, Bruce? Does in Christian Science, were you,
yeah.
is that the version where like the body, if it gets a disease or illness, it's like a, it's a spiritual problem. It's not a physical problem. Am I
correct.
Right?
It's actually a Bible-based religion.
For sure.
A woman, Mary Baker Eddy,
yeah.
had a traumatic fall in the mid-1800s,
uh-huh.
screwed her back up royally. Some kind of thing happened. She was like, all right, wait a second. What if this was all rethought? And it's a spiritual, so this the key to the scriptures, we have a companion book.
I was going to say, there's a separate thing, right?
It's not a literal interpretation of the Bible. It's a spiritual uh-huh. interpretation of it. Because, man, you can get pretty gritty. The Bible gets
gritty. That's cool.
So anyway, so it's that version of it. And eventually, and they were a little Mormon-y. You didn't
uh-huh.
smoke. You
uh-huh.
didn't smoke. You didn't drink. Because, again, that's not real spiritual, you know.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of fucking, it's fucking with the perfect model.
Mormon-y. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
And so over time, I pushed back against, I'm like, you know, guys, we've been at this for this particular religion for 120 years. Like, you know, if we nailed it, wouldn't we all just disappear?
Sure.
And I say that to all organized religions. Like, well, hasn't anyone home run and ninth inning. Oh, Trent Jenkins.
When is the one?
Of Kearney, Nebraska. You did it. The bell rang. Ed McMahon shows up.
Congratulations. Terrific, guys. You know? Totally. Yeah.
So I thought, because I thought to myself, can I please decide what I think is right or wrong? Not what's kind of written down in a book. I found there were some very profound words in both the Bible and this. And I thought there was gobbledygook in the Bible and gobbledygook in that.
Sure. Yeah.
And
sure.
I thought, hey, man, I'm kind of full adult now. I want to do my little own, my own little journey.
Yeah.
And so I just call myself a citizen of the world now.
I love the way your movies have like this great combination of horror and humor. And sure. I'm just wondering, why do you think that some of us are so attracted to that combo? Like, what's going on there? It's a weird combination, isn't it?
Oh, it's a little flicker of light in the darkness.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't, you know, we grew up on the Three Stooges, so we always, we love just slapstick humor. And we were really terrified. The first Evil Dead, we were really concerned that, you know, we weren't going to get a movie made. So we thought, let's do a horror movie. Let's do a horror movie. It's one of the great staples of the industry that don't cost much. And so we thought, well, if we're going to make a horror movie, no holds barred. Let's make it completely over the top, unrated, all that stuff. And it was a melodrama.
Uh-huh.
And people fainted, and we got some unintentional laughs because it was too melodramatic.
Mm-hmm.
The second one was co-written by Scott Spiegel, who, I mean, we would call Larry Fine in the old actor's home and talk to him.
You're kidding me.
Really?
We worked out the time difference in Michigan.
You talked to Larry of the Three Stooges?
Yeah. Awesome. We knew his nurse was Mrs. Ross.
This sounds like a skit, like a Three Stooges
skit. I'm telling you, if you called at 11 o'clock our time, it was, 2 o'clock our time.
Yeah.
It was 11 a.m. LA time, which we thought, he's up.
He's got to be
probably up. Had his breakfast, his bowel movement. He's probably wheeled into the sunshine. This might be a good time. And almost every time we talked to him twice.
Really? Know?
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, and he would get on and he had a stroke. So he was talking a little slow, but you know, his brain was all there. And we'd go, Larry,
right.
Larry, with all the pain and all that, you know, was it worth it? He go, well, fellas, that pain goes away on payday. very old school.
Absolutely.
Old school guy.
I just have to say that last night, my girlfriend, who was a big Xena Warrior Princess fan, we went to watch some episodes because I was like, you know what? I got to go back and revisit this and watch. Mm-hmm. And we watched one where you're in a boat that flips over. It's basically the Poseidon Adventure.
It is.
With Xena Warrior Princess. Adventure. And you as Autolycus and the boat goes down.
Yeah, it was called Tsunami.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic. But I was, the whole time, all I could think was, Bruce is in this fucking tank, some tank, I don't know, we're down in New Zealand probably, right? And you're wet the whole fucking time.
Oh, yeah.
And all I could think was, were you just like, Jesus Christ? But that stuff looks like, that stuff must have been fun to do.
It was a very strange episode. Paul, you'll appreciate this. They issued a memo before that episode apologizing to the actors. And said, we just want you to know, in order to portray the leaky ship, you have to pump water into it and it's going to make a noise.
Oh,
there will be noise all day long of some sort of may or may not be able to replace.
Yeah.
So they warned you, you may have to replace all of your dialogue in this episode from the time you were underwater.
So,
but here's the hilarious part. My character, Autolycus, the king of thieves,
king of
usually blah, 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 blah. He's full of shit all the time.
Yes.
And then Lucy will go, right, go get him. In this episode.
You didn't talk much in it.
No.
I know.
I read the script and went, oh, thank God.
Fantastic.
And now Lucy has to go, hey, Gabrielle, put your finger in over there.
Yes.
Autolycus, shove this up your butt. And she was giving the orders left and right. I'm sitting there in the corner going.
No. And my girlfriend was like, he didn't say, he usually talks so much. She was like, I remember he didn't talk that much in this one. You didn't talk that much in that
one.
Oh,
no. I got so lucky. And normally we're always jockeying for places to ad lib. Hey, oh yeah, so's your uncle.
Not this time.
And this one, I'm like,
No, you definitely weren't. The Kiwis
were great. They're a tremendous crew.
Yeah.
It was bathwater warm.
Oh, so it was nice and warm. So
we had one exciting moment though, because it was a water tank.
Yeah.
We were supposed to swim out.
Yeah.
From the overturned ship.
Yeah.
And so they actually wanted us, you know, fully submerged, doing the swim through the water up to the surface.
Yes.
Well, we're filming stuff and they're filling this tank with water.
Yeah.
It's a big square tank that looks very solid.
Yeah.
And they get about 12 feet tall.
Boom.
And we're sitting around and we hear,
that's a lot of water.
Bam. And we're like, some guy dropped a huge pipe or something, right? And I'm like, what the hell is that? Bam! And then another one. It was the rivets popping out of the structure.
Shit. Yeah.
As it was giving
away.
That's
a shit ton of water.
Oh, dog.
Yeah.
We look over and the turtle wall goes, you know, it's got like dinosaur sounds as it's coming. And it hit a support pole in the studio and sent the water sideways.
Holy shit.
It splooged it both ways and like, camera cases are floating through the studio.
Somebody could have got hurt.
Oh, dog. Well,
I'm surprised nobody did.
We were supposed to swim out. What if we got sucked through that little crack?
You would have been fucking like nailed.
No,
totally.
That's where you go.
The crazy shit that they have you do.
We do stuff that, I mean, there's so many close calls.
They put you in shit. They have you do shit. And it's just like, it's crazy. I mean, I've done shit in cars that I'm like, you're really trusting me to fucking like spin this thing out and drive it through that thing. And I'm like, what the fuck? Are you crazy?
I had to rob a bank in a TV movie up in Portland. The cheap ass producers, no stunt driver. I'm supposed to cut in front of traffic.
Yeah.
Stop in front of this bank. So it's closed, right? It's a Saturday. But they go, no. Just fake it. Run up to the door with the shotgun in hand
to the bank.
And then do this to the doors. Because as soon as you touch the doors, we're going to cut inside.
We're going to cut.
But for the sake of the rest of the shot, pause.
Yeah.
Then pretend like you just closed the doors.
And run away.
Run back in the car.
Yeah.
Get in, cut across four lanes of traffic, and take a very dangerous left turn.
Uh-huh.
I was looking for shells for that shotgun. I got back after the take. I went, there's no more takes of that.
Sure. Yeah, no, you guys got that. Totally, yeah.
Now, granted, Paul and I think are at the point where we would both now go, I respectfully decline your offer.
No, I know, and I kind of passed that point where I was like, should I feel bad? Should I feel a little sad for myself that I'm like, I don't want to do this?
You're putting money in the stunt guy's pocket.
It's wisdom.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's actually very true. But
they got mouths to feed, man.
Yeah, I'm a little bit more wary than I used to be. I mean, it was a thing I really enjoyed. I was like, sure, you can drop me out of this tree. You can throw me in that tank.
It is exciting, but you have to actually be able to continue to function. A lot of actors, you know, I work with Lee May. Majors.
Yes.
Lee was more physically adept in many cases than his stunt guy.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And he would say to him, because he was one of these guys, I got it, Kenny. And he'd make sure that Kenny got paid.
And he would, but he would do
and
it.
And Lee would flip over the table.
Wow.
And he said it was the later seasons of The Fall Guy. He's on the tram that goes up to Palm Springs. He's on the tram. He's on the top of the tram going up the mountain. And he goes, what am I doing up here?
Why
am I up here?
I shouldn't be doing any of this. Yeah. Any of this. Yeah. And he tells the story. They wanted him for season 7. In the middle of nowhere.
Sure.
He wouldn't let him get out of the van. They wanted to come and talk him into a season 7. At least, like, don't you get out. Don't even
don't get out of the van.
Don't get out of that van. Get off my property. Get off my property.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Were you a horror fan before doing this stuff?
No, not at all.
You weren't. You did not grow up with any of that kind of thing. That's so interesting.
I didn't read Marvel. I read Sad Sack magazine. Sad Sack was this idiot loser GI in World War II, always peeling potatoes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And by mistake, he would save D-Day.
That's right. I remember that. I forgot about Sad Sack.
His pants are falling down.
Yeah, I remember Sad Sack.
He was Sad Sack. He was the opposite of Sergeant Rock.
That's right.
Was that like a Sunday cartoon? Was that in the Sunday papers? Or that was its own comic book?
No doubt, from 1947.
I think that's where I saw it.
Yeah, I think it was. I remember Sad Sack. His pants were hanging down. Yeah.
Sam was tearing through Spider-Man magazines. And I'm like, no, Sad Sack.
You didn't care. So you had none of that, no interest in any of that. That's so interesting.
Uh-huh. And the horror and all that. I love the fact that Dean Martin would send Jerry Lewis into the stores to get comics for him.
Oh, really?
Because Jerry Lewis looked like he was 21 years old. And Dean Martin's like, I'm not going to go in there.
He felt like a moron going and buying. Yeah, he felt like an idiot.
What are you, fucking crazy? I'm not going in there looking like this.
Like,
get in there. Give me some fucking comics.
Get in there.
Come on, Jerry. You moron. Get in there.
Ah, Dean, fuck you. God damn it.
Do you love Jerry Lewis? Are you a Jerry Lewis fan?
I'm going to preface all of these discussions with troubled individuals, with everyone's a complex individual. And I do believe, like Roman Polanski, you can be a creep and make good movies. I have to be able to separate the two. Yeah. Do you boycott them because of one, because of the other? Uh-huh. Maybe.
What do we not know about Jerry Lewis?
I know. Well, Jerry was a tricky guy.
Jerry was a grabber, an unapologetic grabber. And if you didn't play ball, he cut your lines. He'd save you to the end of the day. You wouldn't be in any more movies.
Do you find him funny? Do you find the stuff that he did funny? Do you think his stuff was funny? I find
about three or four movies to be pretty brilliant. And even out of those, I would go, let's just cut a compilation reel.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yes.
A compilation reel of like Jim Carrey would be probably pretty amazing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Compilation reel of Jerry Lewis would be equally amazing.
He's got this whole thing of dancing on these steps.
Yeah. And you go, shit, where did that come from?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He honed his skills for 10 years in clubs with Dean. You know, the first introduction he had was coming out with a tray of 100 plates. Uh-huh. And he was the busboy. Where is that kid?
Hey, I got you some, Dean.
100 dishes would break in the opening routine. That's it. And then he screwed himself up. He did one of these.
He blew. He big fucked falls, his back up.
And when he landed, he knew he went.
Early in his career, or when was it? Mid-point, kind of.
Yeah.
Late maybe 70s. Sort of
Cinderfella era or something like that.
Cut the painkillers. Yeah. That's all that stuff.
Okay. You know, it's true. The compilations of those things. You watch the Marx Brothers movies, and you're like, there's a lot of that, like. Just kind of the history. There's a lot of this dead air where you're just watching.
Just get to the closet. They're just kind of sitting there.
They're like, Harpo's like buttering a piece of toast. And he's sort of grouching, kind of muttering.
Hey,
new
appreciation, by the way, for Laurel and Hardy.
Those guys are great. Really? You have a new one?
I always thought they were too slow.
Oh, really? Oh,
no. I think they're amazing. Boy, was I wrong. And they're both equally funny.
Yes.
I need to rewatch that stuff.
Stan gets all the credit, but Ollie is like, that guy is so solid during a take.
Amazing.
I love going back and forth and go, what is each guy doing?
Which guys, totally.
And you look at him, and I could look at Ollie just as much as Stan, because he's feeding Stan.
Totally.
And it's like, shit. Now there's better versions out there, whether it's, YouTube or whatever.
They're cleaned up.
They're more watchable.
Yeah, they're more watchable. Yeah.
More watchable.
No, there's one of those, the one where they're selling the Christmas trees and they sell it they bring it to the guy's house and they end up fucking destroying the guy's house and he ends up destroying their car is one of the greatest fucking things ever. They're amazing. And W.C. Fields, another guy that I really love. There's great irony of W.C. Fields, though. Yeah.
He was done when he started.
What do you mean?
W.C. Fields was the world's greatest comedic juggler.
Oh, yes, that's true.
and toured the world. That's with true. This. He had the pattern.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Well, something to hit the hand to hand to hand.
And he was juggling. His big end routine was a pool table loaded with balls. And it was the one shot gets them all in, clears the table.
Amazing.
And it was done with a mirror, you know, to show the audience the table.
Really?
And then, of course, the cables and the balls and the shit. But, and he was not really the notorious sort of drinking guy. He did consume alcohol, but he, by the time he got to Hollywood, he was kind of, he's like, what?
He was
what
sort of, yeah, fuck? He'd been doing it forever. That's true.
He had been on stage vaudeville forever and was like, yeah, whatever. And by that point.
Yeah. He invented the cigar box juggling. I think he invented that. I think that was his thing.
I would not be surprised.
Well, you do, you know, when you see the guys with the cigar boxes and they get more boxes.
Do you ever do this, Paul? Do you ever want to see certain individuals right at the peak? Like Amy Montgomery Cliff, Broadway 50s.
Yeah, doing that stuff. Okay. Yeah.
Give me one of those.
Yeah.
Give me Sammy Davis Jr. at like the Tropicana, like mid 60s.
Yeah. But to see W.C. Fields doing that vaudeville stuff.
In vaudeville.
Yeah, would have been amazing.
Where he destroys. He's got to destroy it, though. Same with Houdini. Give me a live Houdini.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Houdini would be amazing.
In the 20s, maybe.
Houdini was brilliant
because of his marketing, too, because he did a thing in Detroit. He'd go to the Belle Isle Bridge over the Detroit River. 10,000 people would show up, jumping in the river. And went long underwear. Boom, goes in. He had problems in Detroit. The current fucked him up. But anyway,
oh, really?
He went through a hole in the ice. He had to breathe through little air pockets.
Jesus Christ.
Holy shit. Back.
Wow.
But he finally gets out, and the whole thing was, you like that? Come tonight at the Masonic Temple.
Oh, my God. That's genius.
At 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
That guy had a three-story brownstone in New York City. Yeah. I mean, Houdini had the scratch.
Amazing. Well, one last thing, because I do follow you on the Instagram, and I just wanted to ask about your cats. Can I ask you about your cats?
Please.
How many of them do you have?
Bonnie and Clyde, too.
Ah, okay. And that's
Bonnie's a cute little adorable gray cat, and Bonnie is he's sort of a black and dark brown scoundrel. He's the boy cat.
Uh-huh.
And he came in the other day with it and going, we're like, what happened? He got a puncture wound. Because he gets out there.
You let them outside. They're outdoor cats?
They're outdoor, indoor. Scrappers. They come in for snuggles and food. And amazing. During the day, they're like, work with me, man.
And are you a lifelong cat guy? I'm just interested. I'm always interested about
this. I owned Basset Hounds as a kid.
Uh-huh.
Wow, that's a weird dog.
It is a weird dog, and I feel that genetically they were very challenged because you can only get a Basset Hound by doing very bad things to a normal dog.
Breeding them, yeah.
Their health was for shit, and they both died kind of horrible, protracted deaths. So I'm like,
Yeah.
Like, I can't eat Captain Crunch to this day because I was told that my dog died halfway through a bowl of eating Captain Crunch. I can't even look at it.
Jesus Christ.
So... and I travel a lot, so cats were a little more like, hey, get back when you get back. I'm fine, totally. A little more independent.
And, yeah, that is what's good about them.
It's a fallacy that they don't care about you.
No,
it's a fallacy that they're aloof. The cat just is very simply a libertarian.
Uh-huh. Yes.
It goes, I don't want any part of that.
Yes.
Come here.
Yeah, I love that. That is what they are. Yes.
What,
yes.
Now? I don't know.
But that's when I feel like more, coming over. But it's all the more rewarding when they do suddenly like sidle up to you and like, it's the best.
Absolutely. Because my Clyde will go, don't pet me here. we're not petting here. We're petting over here. I follow him all the way around the corner. And then, like, he's been shot. Bam.
He's like ready now.
And I got a pink. I'll do it.
I love him.
Paul, you have three of them, don't you?
I have three of them now. Yeah. I have three of them now. And what are their names? Two more. We got Zeus, we got Rudy, and we got Javier. Rudy and Javier were not our names.
Now, but it's like in the past, I had cats that were amalgamations, and they all hated each other and never got along, and would have fights at the end of the bed at 4 o'clock in the morning. For the first time, these were two COVID kitties, brother sister, rescued from under a deck, grown from inception.
Right.
And man, the connection we have with these cats,
yeah,
It's kind of sick. Like friends are making fun of it. Hey, is it all right if the cats, if you go bowling? Is that all right?
Well, that miraculously, these three get along really well. It's bizarre.
And I'm glad. You're
lucky. Two of them kind of came up together, so they're okay. And then this third one, so they don't have that shit. No, and in fact, they get all fucking piled on each other.
You're lucky because cats can be.
No, I've had that experience where they fight and you have to keep them in separate rooms, separate wings of the house, and shit like that.
Well, that was a lot of fun. I mean, that was a real meaty chinwag right there.
You are correct, sir, and we are so happy that you all joined us. Please meet us here again next week for another fun and exciting chinwag, won't you? And don't forget to follow us, rate us, review us on Apple Podcasts, and share us with all of your weirdo friends. So, see you next time, everyone, and wag on, weirdos.
Wag on. Chinwag is a production of Treefort Media and Touchy Feely Films, hosted and executive produced by Paul Giamatti and Stephen Asma. Executive producers for Treefort are Kelly Garner and Lisa Ammerman. Dan Carey is executive producer for Touchy Feely. Our series producer is Rachel Whitley Bernstein. Original theme music by Luke Topp, with additional music by Via Mardot. Oscar Guido is our executive in charge of production. Tom Monahan is head of audio for Treefort. Animation created by Alex Sokol. Editing and mixing by Jeff Neal. Lastly, for more information, go to chinwagpod.fm. And find us on Instagram or TikTok at chinwagpod or on Twitter at chinwag_pod.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
Ascertain?
Yes.
Okay.
Ascertain. Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why'd you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.